Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Nick and I talk about a couple beer dinners we made it to, and we talk about some of the great events, including the Michael Jackson movie screening, and It Might Get Dark at Fountainhead. Welcome back to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And Nick, it's still cold outside, but we're drinking through it.
We are troopers. We are here to drink and talk about drinking.
Right. And today I picked Over Ale.
Yeah.
That's what we're drinking today on Chicago Beer Pass. Mainly
just because, jump right into it.
Yeah. Mainly because I'm over the cold already. It's like the middle of winter, but I'm already over it. So that's kind of why I picked this beer. I also picked it because I haven't had this beer in a minute.
Absolutely, man. So we're near the end of January. You know, pitchers and catchers report to baseball in February.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, just a month away, the baseball players start reporting. So we're almost there. Yeah, Over Ale, man, is good stuff. And like you said, it's been a long time. Yeah. It might still be one of their flagship beers. I know at one point it was definitely one of their flagship beers.
Right. It was the first beer they were brewing, or like one of the first, this and Daisy Cutter, I think, for the two.
Yeah. So this is an American brown ale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm surprised it's still flagship because I overlooked this beer.
Yeah. Quite possibly exactly what you think it is what it says on the can. Yeah, I know, because they're one of those crews that, like, most people just have, like, you know, one beer. Like, Three Floyds, Alpha King is their flagship beer, you know, and then, you know, most breweries just have one flagship. But then I remember they said once that, hey, you know, their flagship beers are, you know, Daisy Cutter, Gossamer, and Over Ale.
So all three, okay.
Yeah, at one point, yeah. So I know they're mixing in, like, you know, Akari Shogun in the summer, and then
Pony,
and Heyoka, that winter IPA. They're mixing those in, but for a long time, this was one of their flagship beers.
And it's one, I don't know, I see it a lot on the shelf. So, which I guess maybe people are drinking a lot and it's getting restocked, or it's just sitting there. So, but I guess people are drinking if it's their flagship.
Yeah, it's malt forward, well, like 4.2%.
I think something like that, yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's a tasty beer. It's what you think it is. It's light and drinkable. It's nice.
That's a great quote. If somebody asks me that tomorrow during my day job, I'm just going to blurt that out. They're going to be like, what the hell?
How's that beer? It's what you think it is. It's really not a compliment or like a diss on the beer. It's like,
right.
Yeah, it's a beer. Well, let's get into this past week and what we made it to. And yeah, you go first, man.
All right, absolutely. So last week I went to a Goose Island event. It was a Goose Island beer dinner at a place called Ing, I-N-G. So Ing is, when I first heard of Ing, I thought it was like, you know, the banking people, you know, like the
free checking,
like the commercials you see like on the Super Bowl. Right. But it wasn't that at all, man. So it's kind of just near West Loop, and it's not too far from like the office in the aviary. In fact, it's right next door to Moto. So when you look at their description, Ing is kind of described as molecular gastronomy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those places where, you know, they bring you nice petite portions, and they're very art forward with the presentation, you know. And so, anyway, I went to what's called the Salvador Dali beer dinner. It was a Goose and Ing pairing. So you got the chef from Goose. I'm sorry, you got the chef from Ing. His name was Tim Havidic, and then of course you got Brett Porter, brewmaster at Goose Island.
Okay.
So they came together with this six-course dinner. So that's what I went to. So this guy, Salvador Dali, who I didn't know about prior to this dinner.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right? He's like an artist and an existentialist and, you know, a theorist and all those kind of things. So they took a lot of his works, a lot of his quotes, and some of his artwork, and then they designed a food menu based on that.
Okay.
So when you get there, you get the menu, and it's got all these images of his artwork, and then they're naming some of the stuff after his quotes. You know, right. Just to give you a quick example, I won't read them all, but, you know, honey is sweeter than blood was one of the dishes. So that translated into a beet, honey, orange salad, essentially. Oh, wow. Right? So there were, let's see, there were five dishes. I'll run through the goose, six dishes actually, and I'll run through the goose beers that were paired with them. There was a Halia, which is the latest sister. That's the peach sour. Mm-hmm. Then there's a Lolita. Then there's Juliet, Madame Rose, which was good to see Madame Rose, man. Really good to see Madame Rose.
Yeah. And then the new one just finished, right?
The new one just finished. So this was 2000. This was 2010. Okay. Madame Rose. And then Pepe Nero, and then Backyard Bourbon County Stout, which won runner-up at FOBAT this year, I believe.
Cool.
So, not to get too deep into, like, you know, the food, but my favorite part is always hanging out with Brett Porter, you know? Because Brett Porter, he's not like a typical brewmaster, man. This is the way he talks. And there's some guys that are brewmasters, but you know, they're really good at conversation and they really enjoy talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, Crowley's one of those guys, you know, Brett Porter's one of those guys, or even the guy Garrett at Brooklyn, he's wearing like loafers and like a fucking suit coat. And
they all have great stories and they want to share these stories with you.
Exactly. And, yeah. So Brett's one of these guys, he's in a unique space where, you know, he's a brewmaster at Deschutes for a long time. And then he moved to Goose maybe 2 years ago or whatever. So, you know, he's been at two of the largest craft breweries in the country, you know, and that's a space not too many people can say they've been in. So basically, Lolita, I really love Lolita. And then Madame Rose, which I haven't had in a long time. So what he was saying about Madame Rose, this was a 2010 Madame Rose that we had there, but he said the 2014 Madame Rose is going to have sour cherries and semi-sweet cherries. And in the past, they really tried to focus more on sweet cherries.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. Backyard Rye, he was saying, he was telling the story about Backyard Rye. For those guys that don't know, there are berries in Backyard Rye from the great Pacific Northwest. Right. But then he said they went to Humble Park in Chicago to get the mulberries.
Right. They were shaking the trees.
Yeah. So he's telling a story about how they're all out in Humble Park and, you know, they're laying down this blanket and they're wrapping the tree in like a ribbon, basically. And then they're like literally shaking these mulberry trees. And, you know, he's telling a story about how the organization that they worked with to, you know, to plan out the best time to shake the trees was there, and how, you know, how we should really appreciate Chicago for having so much space that's dedicated to parks, because you get to do things like you get to pick mulberries if you want, like right in the middle of the city, you know, like Fullerton.
I'm sure most people aren't picking them or eating them.
Yeah, right. Like I totally wouldn't pick mulberries. No, but
I'm not usually going to pick berries off a tree and eat them.
In fact, it was to the point where he was saying that Humble Park thought that the tree that it grows on was so ugly that they were just going to cut them all down and stop growing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, so that might still be on the table. I don't
know. They are messy.
Trees, yeah, but they're messy. And then I'm guessing they're all the juice or the syrup just kind of just gets everywhere if they fall off the tree.
I think we have one in our alley by my house, and it's just berries in the alley. There's tons of flies, and then they're on your shoes. They stain.
Goddamn mulberries.
Get them out of here.
So they shook the trees. They got the mulberries. They put them in this beer, and, you know, it's very, very fruit-forward rendition of Bourbon County Stout, which we love. Someone at the table asked, this was a really small dinner. So there was maybe 10 people total, you know, and somebody asked him what his favorite BCS was. And he said he got he's a big nerd. You know, he got a kick out of Bedonia. So Bedonia's is BCS where they didn't add anything to it. But Bedonia was the racks that the Bourbon County barrel sit on. Bedonia was the low racks, the racks on the first and second level that grew this mold, you know, it's like basically a bread mold. And then it didn't really get into the beer, but what it did was it changed the flavor of the beer, made the flavors a lot softer because this mold kind of grew on it. And it basically just kind of sucked some of the flavor out of BCS essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a cool party. That was the only one I went to. Six course Goose Island beer dinner. We got some pictures up on the Facebook page, so go ahead and check those out. But yeah, that's what I went to last week.
Cool. Well, I also went to a beer dinner. I went to one at Small Bar. It was My Word Is My Bond beer dinner with Salamoth and Small Bar. Mm-hmm. And this was not quite as many courses as yours. It was only a four course meal and four beers. And it was tasty. They were probably maybe 6-8 ounce pours all the beers, so pretty small. You weren't gonna get trashed at this beer dinner, and all the food was excellent. They had a she crab soup paired with oubliette. That was one of my favorites.
Now, Oubliettes probably like one, like maybe one of their farmhouse ales, or
yeah, that's kind of their saison or farmhouse. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, everything was good. It all came out like all at the same time. It wasn't like a, this one had to go with this. It was like these were recommended pairings, but you could eat them in whatever order you wanted. You could have your dessert first, or didn't matter. So there was no speeches, but Salamoth folks were there. They were hanging out, so you could go up and chat with them and ask questions if you wanted to, but there was no speeches or anything like that. So it's like a very informal beer dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we get to see more of those where like the guys are there, uh-huh. but then it's like you don't have to wait on them or go in a particular order. You can kind of do your thing for 30 minutes or an hour.
Right. And you could just walk in at any time too. It wasn't like, this is a 7 o'clock beer dinner. You have to be there. Otherwise you miss out on it. It's like, right. Oh, I got there at 7:30. I'm going to start this.
It's like too late. Yeah. We're on course number two. And yeah. Traditionally, right? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. It was $40, but which wasn't too bad. I felt like, hey, we could have used some more beer, but it was a good amount for the money and everything, and all the food was fantastic. So,
yeah. Right on, man.
I think all Salamoth events, there's usually someone from Salamoth there, which is nice.
Yeah, and they're finally in bottles. We had their bottle last week.
Yeah.
Ravaged by Vikings.
I think Joe said they have a couple more coming out too, so look for those soon. Yeah, that was my event too. I had a wedding then on Saturday, so
yeah.
No
beer at the wedding?
No, there was beer at the wedding. We had some Matilda and Green Line. So yeah. Not bad, but it wasn't a beer event, so I'll leave it at that. But we got some good ones coming up for this week, so let's get into it.
Yeah, so this week coming up, there's goddamn, what's going on this week, Brad?
So Thursday, tomorrow, or today, which you're might be listening to this, is the Forbidden Root Town Hall meeting. This is kind of like less of a beer event and more of a, or it's a beer event, but it's not one you're going to be drinking at. It's kind of a political gathering. This is happening at the West Town and Ukrainian Village, like meeting hall, right? It's a town hall meeting. I don't know. Yeah. It's at their community center. I forget the exact address.
Yeah, it looks like they're gonna. So they're trying to start a brewery in a space on that strip, mm-hmm. like you know, I don't know, Chicago and Damon, basically something like that, or right before you get to Damon. And so I think they might be doing it in the space where the proposed brewery will be.
Okay.
So it's like an old movie theater, you know. Cool. So I think I think the way it works is like, Forbidden Root wants to change the zoning to allow this brewery.
Right.
And, you know, there's some people who run the local neighborhood, you know, some of the local neighborhood organizations over there that don't want that because it flies in the face of this philosophy that they have there. So, you know, I was reading a little bit about it today, and I wasn't really sure it made sense to me. But basically, because what this article said, and it's, I think it's like the eastvillage.org or something, they were saying that hey, you know, if we do this, then if it is very, all right, this is weird to me. If they allow Forbidden Root to open a brewery in this space, mm-hmm. and then Forbidden Root leaves, then they've opened the door to potentially have this space zoned for liquor by someone who doesn't care as much as Forbidden Root.
Oh, that seems odd to
me. That's kind of weak. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they won't put, and this was the example they used. They said, hey, you know, craft breweries are all the rage, so what if Forbidden Root is bought by Budweiser next year, and then Budweiser puts a brewery in there with people that don't care as much about the community as Forbidden Root does?
Oh, so it could be like a old ruling from like the tap houses or basically when all the breweries would buy out bars and only serve their beers and not care about the community. And so,
yeah, so it's kind of like this old world way of thinking, like, hey, you know, it kind of reminds me, just on the surface, you know, just reading, you know, what happened today. It kind of reminds me of like, you know, we went to a festival out in like Plainfield or something a few years ago. Okay. And, you know, it was for a good cause, you know, to rebuild the Plainfield River and the stuff around it, because they had these tornadoes a long time ago. But basically, like, if you walk down, you know, they had, like, police and, like, bulletproof vest. And, like, you know, if you were a brewer, you couldn't drink your own beer. And, you know, they just mm-hmm. didn't have an understanding of what craft beer was and what the culture was around it. You know, and this kind of reminds me, and not saying this is exactly like that, but I'm saying it kind of reminds me of that, where okay. it's like, hey, you know, you got these guys who are, you know, you know, leaders in their community and, you know, like they're heads of these organizations, and they don't really understand, you know, what this is all about. So okay. This, if you guys are listening to this and you think that craft beer does have a space, you know, does belong on Chicago Ave near Damon in an old movie theater, I think this sounds amazing, actually. And their mm-hmm. beer is really good. Randy Mosher's on the project.
Right.
You know, so you should probably come out tomorrow if you don't do anything but like sign the sign-in sheet. You know, you should come out and show support and just have a dialogue about craft beer to people who I don't think really understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's from 6 to 8. I know it's on my way home from the office I work out of, so I might just walk by there and pop in and, yeah, say hi and show the support.
Absolutely.
And then you can always go to plenty of the other bars over there to drink if you need a drink afterwards, and I'm sure you'll grab some people there to go over.
They're probably going
to
stress you out at this thing.
But then we got a couple things on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
One is this brouhaha. Ha, 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 ha. How many ha's are there?
Yeah, tons of ha's, man. It's the so this is the brouhaha series. So Chef Juan Kim, who's an artist, and he's also a chef. So if you ever go to the Whole Foods on Lincoln, I'm sorry, it's in Lincoln Park, but it's on North Avenue, the one not too far from Clybourne.
Yeah.
He's a chef there, so they do beer dinners up in the Lifestyle Kitchen up there. Okay. So Chef Juan Kim, you know, he's got a lot of friends that have homebrew, and he's doing an event. He's doing a underground brewing showcase, mm-hmm. I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, and it's $35, and there'll be food and beer samples, I think. Yeah.
Right. It's at a place called the Chop Shop in Wicker Park. So the Chop Shop is, you know, right near north of Milwaukee, and it's a butcher. Is it a butchery? What do you call it? Oh, it's a butcher shop.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a butcher shop that has a restaurant upstairs. So you basically got a deli up front where you can get food. There's a full restaurant upstairs where you sit down, and then there's an event space in the back.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, so Dose Market usually occupies that space on Sundays. So it's that space. It's a very new building. I forgot what was there before, but this space is, I'd say, less than 6 months old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I think we need to get some events outside of Wicker Park and, like, West Town here. So we also have this Lincoln Square Winter Brew.
Right. So that's this is the second annual one. So Lincoln Square Winter Brew is put on by Square Kegs. Square Kegs is a homebrew association, and what they do is they put on an event where they invite local breweries, like super local breweries, to that space to come out. So last year, for example, so this space is in Lincoln Square. So Lincoln Square is basically like Montrose and Western, basically somewhere over there. So there's this cultural center called the Donk Haas. It's like a German cultural center. So on like the third and the fourth floor, last year, for example, they had this craft beer fest that was over two floors. All the super dangerous stuff was on the top floor, and then like the other stuff was on the floor below that.
Okay.
And the tap list was like really, really small. So like you had like Beguile, just all the breweries around there. Beguile, Metro, Five Rabbit before they got their space.
Half Acre.
Yeah, and I think maybe Dry Hop, and I think that was it. Oh. So last year was really fun.
Oh, that's neat. Do you know what time that is? Or
yeah, it looks like they're doing two sessions of Winter Brew to 2014. So the first session starts at 2 p.m. The second session starts at 7 p.m. This is at 4740 Northwestern. Tickets for that are $22 to $52. So
okay, and that's Saturday the 25th as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That's Saturday.
Nice. And then Sunday, I came across this event, and I feel like you may know more about this than I do because it's with the Chicago Brew Bus.
Yeah?
It's the Imbibe Bus to Two Brothers.
Man, I wish they would have invited me, man. This is my first time hearing about it.
Oh, no.
But I think, I know Imbibe does an annual party.
Yeah, so this is what this is.
Okay, yeah. So last year, it was at Haymarket. We did the FOBAB video. We showed it there at Haymarket for the end of the year. It was end of year event last year. So I guess this year it's in like, you know, late January.
Right. I think it's at Two Brothers, and they're leaving Revolution Kedzie. So you can take the brew bus to Two Brothers.
That's not bad.
And it's $15. There's only a few tickets left. So if you want to hang out with Imbibe members and probably can you drink on the brew bus?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a party bus. So of course you can.
It is a party bus. Yeah, that's a lot better than driving out to Two Brothers, because that's like either like Warrenville or Aurora. Or...
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the Roundhouse or if it's the production facility one.
Yeah, but if you guys aren't members of Imbibe, you probably want to be, because it gets you into some really cool events early, basically earlier than general admission.
All right. Well, you might want to find out about this, because it's you know, it's the Brew Bus. It's on Sunday, January 26th.
Yeah, and it's on Sunday, man, which is totally my off day.
Oh, no. That's why they didn't tell you. They're like, don't tell Nick. He's going to... that's all I have for the weekend. All
right. We got
a couple beginning of the week here as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael Jackson, I'm stuttering all over the place today, man. It's just, you moved our day to Wednesday. Know, now I'm like all off pace, man. So Michael Jackson, Beer Hunter. So this is a documentary screening, man. For those of you who don't know Michael Jackson, you probably listened to the wrong podcast. But no, I'm joking. But, you know, but Michael Jackson, you know, is obviously it's not Michael with the brothers, you know, with Tito and Randy. It's not the Jackson 5. It's not him.
What?
It's so Michael Jackson was basically, he was a beer writer, and he was a craft beer, I hate to use the word revolutionary, but he kind of changed the way people...
Visionary?
Thank you. He was a craft beer visionary. So what he did was he changed the perception of wine. He's written a ton of books on beer as well as whiskey, but he was the first person to really appreciate beer the way people had previously appreciated wine and other spirits, basically.
Right. That sums it up, yeah.
Yeah, so Michael Jackson was he was an influential beer and whiskey journalist. So he passed away some years ago now. And there is a documentary on him called The Beer Hunter, because that was his nickname, The Beer Hunter. So they're having the Chicago debut of this documentary at the Gage, where the Gage is right downtown. So there's going to be a panel of local breweries. And then there's going to be beers from those breweries as well as food from the Gage at this event. This is on a Monday. So this is Monday, January 27th.
Nice. And I feel like I've seen a couple clips of this documentary on YouTube over the last year or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually interested in seeing what the end result was, and then just hanging out and drinking some beers with these guys, man. So it looks like Randy Mosier is one of the panelists. So is Jared Rubin, who's the brewmaster at Moody Tongue. Mm-hmm. And he was a longtime brewmaster at Goose Island Clybourne. And then Pat Fahey, who is a master Cicerone. He's also the exam content manager over at Cicerone. Okay. So those guys are going to be on the panel. And then we get to watch this documentary. And then you get a 5-ounce souvenir glass. And then it looks like the Gage is going to provide food for the event.
Cool.
So this is all, this is $40. This is Monday, January 27th at the Gage. The Gage is on 24 South Michigan, and that's from 6 to 10 on Monday.
Nice. Man, I think I might have to check that out, at least get a dinner and a show out of it. So those are always fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Tuesday, we have a sour event.
Yeah, so this is the Sour and Funk Fest up at the Green Lady. So the Green Lady's on North Lincoln Avenue. That's 3328 North Lincoln Avenue. So the Green Lady is going to go into her cellar and pull out some pretty awesome draft and bottles for everyone who loves sour beers.
Oh, cool. I don't think I've ever been up there.
I've been up there once. We actually went up there and took like a photo, I would call like a photo blog, because we didn't really write the story, but we did have some nice images up there.
Oh, cool.
And her space is nice.
Is it big, or like what's the kind of?
It's intimate. It more kind of reminds you of a speakeasy vibe. Like there's like a little it's dimly lit. Not as dimly lit as Cobra.
Okay.
Cobra's almost like inappropriately fucking dark.
There, you know, they're saving money.
So this place has a nice vibe to it. It's got leather couches, and it's got just a couple TVs, and they're always playing like black and white stuff. Right. And you know, they got the hand drawn chalkboard list. They got these beautiful like leather bound menu books. And the Green Lady, she's a local lady, but she spent time in New York, where she started her first bar.
Okay.
And then she came here. She picks out all the beers. She's super friendly. Melanie's her name. It's a nice spot. And what I love about that space is that it used to be home to like a detective agency.
Oh,
and
really?
the door that that the door, the cellar door, you know, the cooler door, mm-hmm. Is the door from the original detective agency.
There. Oh, neat. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Does it say, like, such and such PI?
Right, something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And then finally, we have a couple events next Wednesday. We may record another episode before then, so we may be making two of these the following week, but we might mention them again. But just in case, we want to mention them now. There's one at Fountainhead. It's called It Might Get Dark. It's basically dark beer and dark music.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if dark music is like evil, like metal, dark, like black metal stuff, or like classical, like romantic dark.
Yeah.
Like the stuff. I think I'm gonna go metal dark. I think that's probably.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw. I remember last year for this event, they were taking suggestions, I think, online on what songs they should play. But yeah, it's basically a dark beer and dark music event, like you said. Yeah.
And I don't think the draft lift's up yet. Maybe it recently got posted, but I'm sure it's Fountainhead. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah. And then that's Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's next Wednesday, the 29th. Same day is another Solemn Oath beer dinner.
Yeah.
And this time it's at Bangers and Lace. So this is Solemn Oath and Bangers and Lace hooking up for the Judas Feast.
Whew, okay.
So what they're doing is they're having a beer dinner with tickets online. It's got five Solemn Oath beers, but then you want to stick around because then they're tapping beers from all their friends after that. So Three Floyds, Revolution, Half Acre, Surly, Off Color, just to name a few. This is five beers, five courses. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more next week. We got to post a photo of this event because like it looks like the 12, not the 12 commandments, but the dinner with Jesus. What dinner was that?
Oh, right. Isn't
the dinner the dinner with Jesus. Why don't I know the dinner with Jesus?
The Last Supper.
It was the Last Supper, man. So, yo, it's kind of like in the vein of the Last Supper.
Isn't John Lafler and then Jesus? Laffler's
and then Laffler's in there kind of like where Jesus would be. It's an awesome photo. We're going to post it online. You got
to
see it.
Oh, nice. I think I'm going to make this to this. One, I'm gonna go to another Solemn Oath beer dinner, and it's right around the corner from my house, so it's stumbly distant. I think it's gonna get silly.
Yeah, the people need to know what happened, man. So
right, so I have to see like, I have to be at the Last Supper.
That's gonna be next Wednesday, January 29th at Bangers and Lace.
Nice. Well, that kind of wraps up the week. There's some fun events coming up in February, and we'll get into them soon. I think there's another Solidarity event. Night of Living Ales. I just got something in the mail the other day about that. And so we'll be talking more about those as the weeks approach. Yeah. But Nick, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they get in touch?
Hey man, I'm Nicosio on Twitter. And that's a good way to reach you.
All right. And I'm BRad on Twitter. And you can follow Chicago Beer Pass on Twitter. It's at Chicago Beer Pass. And you can go to the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are up there. Links to iTunes. Subscribe. Leave us a review. That's always appreciated. You know, it gets seen by more people, gets the word out there. So that's awesome. And we have a Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. Like it up there. We're posting some events. We're posting photos. Just other events we don't talk about, we'll post there if we come across them in the middle of the week. But yeah, that wraps up episode 15. Thanks for listening.
And the books. Cheers, guys.